Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Megan. I'm very honored to be with you. I see three of you. Oh, there's a lot of you out there. It is a tremendous honor to be with you. It was 3 years ago, the end of January, that I was here the last time. And for those of you that I've never met, I travel all the time as a missionary evangelist, both here and in other countries. In a few weeks, I'll be leaving for ministry tour in Western Europe. That's where I go mostly. But I am very happy to be with you this morning. We have a table full of stuff here, so you can do your Christmas shopping for this year. Beat the rush. Okay, I'll just mention some of the stuff. How many here like country gospel music? Well, if you don't like it, your grandma will, so make sure you buy as much as you can. And then besides that, we've got books. We've got books. These are all easy reading books. I had these two when I was here 3 years ago. Above the Storm, Joy in the Journey. This one is brand new since a few months. The Midnight Song. These three are easy reading. Every page is a different story, little adventures of my life in which I try to see the spiritual lesson in the daily adventures. Like, what is the spiritual lesson when I was in Denmark and I jumped in the wrong car with the wrong man? You got to buy the book to find out the lesson. Okay, and then we have these three books, which I strongly recommend. They have a very important message. This one, Choose to Live Life. It's on the power of choice. I wish that every young person could read this book and recognize it, the message. You are today the result of choices you made yesterday. You will be tomorrow the result of the choices you make today. Don't blame the government. Don't blame your parents. You are responsible for your own choices. This one is on the power. Choose to a changed mind. The very important message of taking responsibility for the things that you think. That is very, very important. We have the ability to choose the thoughts that we let in our head. And that also makes its way into our lifestyle. This one, Choose a Contented Heart. I don't think I had it when I was here the last time. I was here in January 2017. This one was released later that year. Choose a Contented Heart. Also to do with the power of choice, but the importance of recognizing our source in Jesus Christ. You know what? Eve had the whole world, didn't she? She had the whole world. She even had the only man in it. Think of that. No competition and no choice. But she got concentrating on the one thing in the whole world she did not have the right to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she lost everything. I see people today chasing power, possessions, prestige, all kinds of stuff, never being content with what God has given them. So check it out. Spend the more you buy, the better the price. I also want to mention these three little books. Booklets, little wee tiny booklets. How to Lead a Soul to Jesus. How to Receive the Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Speaking with Other Tongues. The Gifts of the Spirit. Ordinarily, I used to sell them for $5 each. But I needed a reprint, and I sent the number to my secretary. I said, give me about 100 each. She misread the zeros, so we have thousands of these little booklets, which means that you can get all three of these for $5. Anyway, these three, they know what it's all about on the table. There's another little book for people just coming to Jesus. Anyway, the whole point is, none of that money goes to me. None of it. It all goes to the sponsorship of needy children in India, Brazil, Mexico, and Mozambique. So you can get a blessing and be a blessing. Now, we're going to just sing you one little song because you got to find out if those CDs are worth it. So I want you to, I'm just going to sing this little song, and they're supposed to have it together there, so just punch it and... This is country gospel music. Okay, double the power and we got it. It's coming. A little more. for the music only, please. There's nothing on the monitors. Okay. Be disappointed by the way life has gone. Your heart has been broken. You feel rejected and alone. When it seems all is lost and despair takes its toll, God works all things for your good. He's got it under control. God is still on the throne. He's the keeper. It's God that is on the throne running the show. Isn't that great? There's no problem he can't solve. He knows your pain and tears. Don't give up in the darkness. He can calm all your fears. Come with your broken pieces, his power can make you whole. He will hear and deliver you. He's got it under control. God is still on the throne. He's the keeper. Soul. He loves you, he calls you his own. God has it all under control. God has it all. God has it all. God has it all together, and we praise you for that. I want to say thank you again, Pastor Megan, for making it possible for me to be with you here. I also want to say thank you to Sister Patience, who showed great hospitality to me to let me stay in her home. I want you to turn with me this morning to the book of Jeremiah. I don't know if you follow the scriptures up there or not, but most of my scriptures this morning are found in Jeremiah chapter 29. I want to read from the NIV, the first verse, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, which is my key verse. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 from the NIV, "For I know I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Everyone say hope and a future. I want to tell you this morning that no matter what happens, no matter how terrible, how catastrophic, how wonderful, whatever, God's people for time and eternity always have hope and a future. Always. We always have hope and a future. But Jeremiah the prophet has been given a tremendous responsibility. He has been given the assignment to warn the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, that the judgment of God is about to fall and that they are going to be taken to Babylon. Time and again, the warnings of the prophets have been given, and now God says, now the line has been crossed. It is too late. You will go to Babylon. And so in Jeremiah chapter 29 and in other places through the scripture, Jeremiah warns the people, but I also want to share with you three keys that God showed the people how they knew the terrible times that they were going to experience. I can see many parallels between the days of Jeremiah and the nation of Judah and our own nation of Canada and the situation in the world. I believe that every awake Christian, every Christian that has even a hint of an awareness, has already sensed the call of the bridegroom and understands that time is very short. How many feel that? How many have sensed something? Something. We're on the edge of something major. Let me see your hands. We're on the edge of something major. I believe we are on the edge of financial collapse. I believe we're on the edge of war. I believe we're on the edge of catastrophes, natural catastrophes like this world has never seen. Why do I say that? Because I believe we are in the end of the end times. I believe that the things that Jesus spoke about, we are seeing on our news daily. That's not a negative message. That's a very positive message. You'll find it out. But what am I going to say? Trouble is going to happen. I want to say that on our national scene, on our world scene, trouble is about to happen. Maybe it'll be 20 years, 50 years, 100 years. I don't think so, but maybe. But trouble will happen. In your home, in your lives, trouble happens. If you haven't had any yet, it's coming soon. Cheer up. It's going to happen. There's going to be bad things happen to good people. I don't like it. I don't understand it. But bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people, which is downright irritating. But it's true. I don't understand these things, but I believe that God in His Word gives us very practical solutions that we can go through the most drastic situations and have victory in our soul. And so in Jeremiah chapter 29, I want to show three keys. Number one, acknowledge God's hand. This is an ABC, by the way. So A is acknowledge God's hand. Would you say that with me? What I mean by that is acknowledge that whatever happens, God is still in charge. I don't understand things. We don't understand things, but God is still in charge. Now, God is never, never the author of evil. But He permits us to go through difficult situations. And I'm sure that you understand that. He allows evil. We can see even the fact that they were led as captives into the land of Babylon. God permitted that. God permitted the flood. God permitted the captivity of the nation of Israel and eventually of Judah. God permits evil for His purposes. We don't always understand, but He permits it. And sometimes good people are caught in the crosshairs. But in the middle of it, it changes everything for the child of God When we can look up and say, God, I don't understand it, but you are with me in the middle of this. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. You have everything under your control. You know exactly what I'm going through. You know exactly the situation, and I will trust you to bring me through. You understand? You can say amen sometimes. Don't let me scare you. It's going to get bad. Okay, I want you to look at these scriptures in Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read from the Old King James translation because that's the one I know the best. Okay, that's the one Apostle Paul used too. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto them that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away captives, away from Jerusalem onto Babylon. Now I want you to look at verse 7. Verse 7. And seek the peace of the city whither I have caused you to be carried away. Did you get that? Both those verses. And then I want you to look down at verse 14. Twice in this verse, if we had half as much light on my Bible as on my face. Sorry. Anyway. And ye shall seek me. Wait, I want to get verse 14. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will pay your captivity, and I will gather you from all of the nations and from all of the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whither I caused you to be carried away captive. And he says the same thing in verse 20. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. In those times, God takes personal responsibility for the trouble therein. He says, I have caused you to go into that hard place. I have sent you. I have driven you into the nation of Babylon. I have done it. That's what God said. God said, I am taking responsibility for the trouble that you're going through. Because God had a plan. God had an eternal purpose. God has a plan for the details of your life. He has an eternal purpose for the situation, and he wants you to look to him, to trust him, to be able to go through those dark times with faith and confidence in him that he will walk with you there. If you and I can come to this acknowledgement and rest in God's will, God's plan. God, I know that you're here. You are in control, and out of this dark thing, you are going to bring something good, something beautiful. You have a great purpose, an eternal plan that we don't even see the point of a pin of the eternity that you have in plan. How many understand what I'm saying? I can't see you, so say something. My friends, if we can acknowledge God's hand, I don't like this situation. I don't understand this, but somewhere you are here and you are going to do something out of this that's going to blow my blooming socks off. I will trust you in this situation. Number two. How to go through this difficult situation. Number two, bloom where you're planted. Everybody say that. That was a little weak. Let's try it again. Bloom where you're planted. God said in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verses 5 and 6, he told them what to do. When you get into Babylon, he says, build you houses and dwell in them. And plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that you have sons and daughters. There's so many sons and daughters going on here. That you may be increased there and not diminished, and seek the peace of the Lord in the city where I've caused you to go. God is saying, I'm sending you into an extremely difficult and dark place. I'm sending you as captives to Babylon. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be there a long time. But I'm telling you what to do when you get into that place. Build a house. Get a bunch of kids. Get your kids married. Have a bunch of grandkids. Have bunches of kids. Now that's spiritually speaking. Get a bunch of kids. Get a good business. Make some money. Get ahead. Prosper in that place. Make that place a better place. Not because it's easy, but because I have sent you there. Bloom where I plant you. I am sending you to Babylon. You can go through this experience with victory. So get busy and bloom in that place. Make it a better place because you're there. You say, you have no idea what you're talking about. You have no idea. My boss is such a jerk, and the people that I work with are so difficult. It is so hard to soar with eagles when you work with turkeys. You say you have no idea. Yeah, you float all over the world preaching the gospel, but you have no idea of how hard it is to work with these people. No, I don't. But God has put you in that workplace, about it, but because he has a work for you to do in there, and he says you change the atmosphere of your workplace. You make it a better place because I put you there. You say, you have no idea. You have no idea how hard it is to live with my husband. Oh, my soul. He is so difficult to live with. No, I have no idea. And frankly, I'm thrilled. But God has allowed you in that marriage. You may not have the most perfect husband or the most perfect wife, but you can make it a better place, not because it's an easy situation, but because God has put you there. One, amen. Can I get another? I'm not saying your marriage is easy. I'm not saying your home is easy. And your mother-in-law might be a regular crank. But I'm telling you, you are God's instrument in that place. You make it better. Not because it's easy, but because God put you there. Everybody look at your neighbor and say, make it better. Oh, yeah. Truly. Hey, we're waiting for everybody else to make me happy. Why don't we make the difference? You bloom where God plants you. That's what God was saying to the children of Judah. He said, when you get into that miserable place, it's going to be hard, but you get busy and you make that wicked place a better place because I am sending you there. And the church, you have no idea. It's so hard, you know. At our church, it's so hard. There's some people that are downright crazy. It is so hard to put up with those people at church. Oh, and our pastor, you know, she does her best. But, you know, well, of course. But the church is not dependent on your pastor. She has an important part, but the church is not dependent on your brother or your sister. It is you that God is calling to make a difference. Make it a better place. Not because it's easy and everybody's sweet and all the time, but because God has put you here. You make it a better place. Can I be deafened with an amen? Amen. Somebody said, if you're looking for a perfect church, for heaven's sake, don't join, because it won't be perfect anymore. My friend, my dear friends, you make it a better place. Bloom where you're planted. Say that again. You know, in the Old Testament, back in the book of Genesis, we read the story of a man that bloomed where he was planted. Look with me in Genesis chapter 41, and I'm going to read the story of Joseph. Let me tell you first, Joseph was his father's favorite son. His other brothers detested him. They sold him as a slave. He went into Egypt. He lived in as a slave in a dictatorial society. And then he was falsely accused. He was so rejected by his family that they wanted to kill him. Then he was falsely accused as a slave. He ended up in prison, a place where he had no right. And there in the prison, he made some friends, helped out some folks, and they got out and promptly forgot him. So he was rejected by his family. He was falsely accused. He was forgotten by his friends until finally God made him the prime minister of the nation. And when he got a prime minister, they gave him a wife, and he had two sons. And it says in verse 52, and the name of the second son called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now this man had every reason to gripe about his life. But the Bible says that in the middle of the land of his affliction, which, by the way, God permitted because he had a long-term plan that would rescue the nation of Israel and fulfill his promise to send the Messiah through Abraham's line, and affects you and I today. That's a big long-term plan. But Joseph called his son Ephraim, because God made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Some people come to me and you wouldn't believe the excuses they use for their problems and for their situation. Well, I can't be happy because... Yeah. You can't be happy because you're too selfish. It's true. How many say it's true? Three. Let's try that again. How many know it's true? You can't be happy because you're too selfish. It's impossible. Joyce Meyer said this. It's impossible. So it has to be true. She said, it is impossible to be happy and selfish. That's true. Everybody say again, that's true. Yeah. How did Joseph flourish in the land of his affliction? I'm going to give you 4 points. Number one, he was willing to forgive those who caused him pain. Forgive those who caused him pain. Everybody say that. Forgive those who caused him pain. I will tell you right now, you will never, never flourish anywhere if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart. You can say amen again. That's true. Joseph was willing to forgive. You show me somebody that is willing to forgive, I will show you somebody that has found the first key to being able to prosper within him or herself. Number two, he was willing to forget the past anguish. Everybody say that. Forget the past anguish. Forget the past anguish. Some people say, oh, I forgive. But I remember it was 43 years ago on the 4th of January. He said this to me. She did it to me. Forget it already. And so it's like, you know, they get a new ear to listen, and so they pull out of the closet all the old stuff that happened and all the garbage of the past. You want to hear my story? Oh, I'll tell you my story. And they pull out this old rattling skeleton, and I pull out the stinking thing just to hear its rattling bones and to sniff all the garbage as they regurgitate the story of every horrible thing that everybody did for them. How many know people like that? Don't move. Forget it already. Hurt happens. People do stuff. You did stuff. You said stuff too. Forget it already. Forget the past anguish. Yes, of course you can remember it, but don't. Hello? You can remember. I can remember stuff that happened, but don't. Don't pull it up and dredge over it and just put it out of your mind. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to bring that up. I forget it. You know what? Just get a life. Just get a life. Don't live in everything that everybody did and drool over all the problems and all the hurt. Poor thing. You know, there's an advantage to these bright lights. I can't see you. So I'm having a good time. Listen, my friends. Bury it. If it's dead, what's past, put it under the blood of Jesus. Repent of your sin. Put it under the blood and forget it. For heaven's sakes, bury it if it's dead. I'll tell you what, even a cat knows some stuff needs to be buried. Get alive. Number three, what did Joseph do? He focused on the present moment. He focused on excellence. Just let's make that a third point. He focused on excellence. He was the best son. He was the best slave. He was the best prisoner. And he became the best prime minister. Wherever he was, he put his heart and soul into making that situation a better situation. It didn't matter the pain and the anguish. He just got busy blooming where he was planted. Okay, enough points. We're going back to another point. A was acknowledge God's hand. What was A? B was bloom where you're planted. What was B? And C, concentrate on God's promises. If you want to have victory through the difficulties of your life, acknowledge God's hand, bloom where he puts you. And that includes the forgiving and forgetting and focusing on excellence. But C, concentrate on the promises of God. When you're in the most difficult of situations, when trouble really hits you, dig out the Word of God. Focus on the Word of God. Concentrate on the promises of God. Bring them a reality in your life so that when it gets really hard, you have a foundation that will not be shaken. You see, that's what Jeremiah told the people Back to Jeremiah chapter 29. Look at what he said in verse 10. Here's what he said. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished in Babylon, I will visit you and can perform my good word toward you, you to return to this place. Acknowledge my hand, bloom in that place. But on the days when things get really hard, remember my promise. Jeremiah said in 70 years, God's going to visit this land. God's going to visit my people in this land of Babylon. I'm going to take them home. Some of those grandmas down in Babylon, they'd say to their children, you know, it's been a long, hard time here in Babylon. It was a strange land. We lost everything. We came to this land, had to learn new language, new culture, mistreatment, all kinds of stuff. But God said in 70 years we'd go home. We've been here for 65 years, folks, kids. In 5 years, we're going home. 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, 1 year. Listen, those of you that know the Word of God, the Bible says that Daniel, the prophet, the great prophet Daniel, declared that he was reading the prophecies of Jeremiah. And he said, I saw by the prophet Jeremiah that the time was at hand for the visitation of God to my people. And I set my face to pray that God would fulfill his good word in taking the people home. Isn't that something? Daniel was encouraged by the promises spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. Isn't that amazing? 70 years, God did what he said. When things get really rough in your life, not only on a national scene, not only in a world scene, but sometimes right where you live, at your workplace, in your home, in your health, in your situation, wherever you're living, whatever you're going through, sometimes stuff gets really hard. And yes, you've acknowledged God's hand and you've persevered and you've loved him and you've served him faithfully. And yes, you've done your best to make this situation a better place. And yes, it's been hard and your heart is down and discouraged. I'm telling you one more thing. Get a hold of the promises of God. Concentrate on the promises because they'll carry you through. Jesus said in Luke 21, he said all kinds of stuff is going to happen. He said, men's hearts are going to fail for fear of the things that are happening on the earth. He said, in the NLT translation, he said, even the stability of the very heavens will be broken up. He said, there will be wars and rumors of wars like we've seen on the news in the last week. He said there's going to be plagues and diseases like the reopening of SARS-like thing in China. There's going to be famines and disasters. If you had a breakfast this morning, you're better off than 95% of the people on this planet. My friends, he said there's going to be hard days. But he said in Luke 21:28, Jesus said, when, he didn't say there would we have a trouble-free life. No, no, no. He said, when you see this stuff beginning to happen, what did he say? Then lift up your heads. Lift up your heads and look up because your redemption draweth near. My friends, stop looking at the stuff that's happening here. You get so close to Jesus. You get so busy for Jesus. This stuff is all going to go up in smoke. It's going to be climate change deluxe. This whole thing is going up in smoke. Do you believe that? First Peter said the elements will, Second Peter, the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Don't get too stuck on your bank account or your car or worrying about this life. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 34 to 36 according to the NLT translation. Watch out. Don't let me find you living in careless ease and drunkenness and filled with the worries of this life. For that day will come upon everyone living upon the earth. He said, keep a constant watch and pray that if possible, you may escape these horrors and stand before the Son of Man. We're there, folks. Anybody that watches news of any kind knows we're there. Get close to Jesus. You know what? When I was in Iceland, and this time I am going to finish. I was in Iceland. Iceland is a beautiful island, a very unique country. I was preaching in little villages all over the island. I've been there many times on ministry tours across that island. One place we had to go through a mountain to get there, through a tunnel in a land full of volcanoes and earthquakes. We had to go through a tunnel. Now, the Icelandic nation is not as rich as Switzerland. Switzerland, their mountains are like their cheese, full of holes. But Iceland, they didn't have as much money. So to save money, they made the tunnel through the mountain one lane wide. That's about just one section wide, just big enough for a semi, small semi, to go through. Every 500 meters, there was a pull-off in case you met somebody. So we had to go through that tunnel, 8 kilometers. I don't like tunnels at the best of times. 8 kilometers, very little light, very little air circulation. But in that long, dark tunnel, speed limit 40 kilometers an hour, they had one amazing thing. On the wall, every kilometer, they had a little sign with two numbers. And the top number was how many kilometers you'd gone. And the bottom number was how many you had yet to go. That was great. First, it was 1/7. 1 kilometer, we'd gone 7 more to go in that dark thing. Then it was 2/6. Then it was 3/5, and then it was 4/4 in the middle of the earth in a land full of earthquakes and volcanoes. Some things you don't concentrate on. Then it was 5/3, and then it was 6/2, and finally it was 7/1, just 1 more kilometer to go. We were going to make it. We were going to make it out of that thing. And then we all were peering through the dark, looking, maybe there'd be a speck of light. 500 meter pull off, and then sure enough, just like the dawn of a day, the light shone in. You know what? It's pretty dark in this tunnel. Maybe at your home, in your workplace, wherever you're going through, pretty dark. But there's a promise. We could go through the tunnel, and the promise helped show us the way. Look for the promises. Concentrate on the promises. You're going to go through the tunnel. Jeremiah said, in 70 years, you're coming home. How many of you this morning? It's hard right now. Let me see your hands. Hold it up high. It's hard right now. I don't know, loss, trouble. Just hold it up. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. I'm going to ask you all with your hands up. I want you to stand up right where you are. I'm not going to prolong this, but we are going to pray for you. With those with your hands up, would you stand up? Maybe it's kids, maybe it's parents, maybe it's in-laws, maybe it's job, maybe it's money, maybe it's no money, maybe it's too much money. I don't know, whatever your problem is, that's okay. Stand up. Maybe it's loss, sorrow, trouble, uncertainties. I'm just going to ask those that are still seated. Maybe others want to stand up. Maybe everybody wants to stand up. That's okay. I'm going to bless you. And those that are nearby, would you just reach out and bless those that are just, I mean, if you want to put your hand on, or just reach out and pray. Would those that could just join me and pray. Father, I bless these people. There's stuff. There's always stuff happening. We're all either going in or coming out or in the middle of stuff. Jesus, I just bless these ones that are standing today that are really, they're working through stuff today. I pray that these 3 points, these keys, this acknowledge God's hand, bloom where they're planted, and concentrate on the promise will help them. In Jesus' name. Right where you're standing or sitting, whatever, I want you to just think in your heart, can I acknowledge God's hand? God, you're with me. I don't understand this, but I acknowledge you right now. God, you're with me. I trust you. I commit it to you. I submit to you in this situation. Number two, God, help me to make this a better place. Help me to get off my duff and get busy making this a better place. Lord, help me to stand on your promises in the name of Jesus. Apply this in your life now. Apply it in Jesus' name. One more thing before I give service back to Pastor Megan. I'm just going to drop this challenge. If there's some of you that you know very well, you've got bitterness and unforgiveness in your life, you need to repent. You need to repent. Take responsibility, your responsibility. Let it go. It'll set you free. You don't have to trust people, but you must forgive. Jesus, if there are those in this room, I know there are, that are struggling with bitterness and unforgiveness, I pray you will help them to make the choice today to let it go. Just choose to be free. In the name of Jesus. If there are some that need special prayer, I invite you to come forward. I'm going to turn the service back to Pastor Megan. Take these words this morning. Let it be alive in your heart. Amen. It's for you.